You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, a podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. Our question for the day is, what is it like to be the parent of someone with OCD? I'm your host, Dr. Noah Laracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hi, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral cognitive therapy and an expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. And today we have another special guest, Rob, who is Joe's dad. If you have not listened to the previous episode in which we interview Joe about his OCD, I suggest you listen to that now. But now we have the unique perspective of his parents, so we get to feel what it's like to be the parent of someone with OCD. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what it was like in the beginning and when you first started noticing something different about Joe's behavior?
It's hard to do that because, just as Joe explained, his OCD came on in stages. And so you notice what might be a little bit of quirky behavior, but then it builds from there. One of the first things we noticed was when Joe was a little boy, he had very bad anxiety, particularly around a peanut allergy that he has. And so the first thing we noticed may not have necessarily been OCD, but it was an anxiety disorder.
So at this time, though, you're not particularly concerned. You just think he has a peanut allergy and you're not thinking too much about it?
We weren't thinking specifically about OCD, but the therapist that we were working with, the anxiety around it, says to myself, my wife, Joe's mom, beware. There could be trouble in the future. And we didn't know what that meant. But from that point on, we kind of, you know, we were cautious and, you know, watched his behavior. But it was a few years later before we started recognizing behavior that we were suspicious of being OCD.
Do you have any OCD or anxiety in your family?
There is anxiety in my family. Nothing that we have recognized as OCD, but some anxieties, yes, both on my side of the family and Joe's mom's side.
So what it sounds like was that you took Joe to a therapist from a time he was very young to work on the anxiety. What was it that they were working on? Like, what exactly was the treatment like?
We didn't have a ton of sessions with the psychiatrist. There are just a very few, two or three sessions, and they were really kind of brutal. You know, it was basically forcing Joe to understand that his peanut allergy was real, but his anxiety around it did not have to be there. We walked into the first session, and he was carrying a big armload of superheroes, and the therapist said, if you don't hold this bag of treats that has peanuts in it, I will take away your superheroes. Joe would not put down the superheroes and hold the bag of treats, so the therapist took them away and sent us home and said for 2 weeks, Joe couldn't do anything but stay on the sofa and read books because he wouldn't eat his normal food, and until he was ready, he couldn't have the superheroes back. And so it forced him into getting over that bit of anxiety.
Though, as a parent, I'm sure that was really unnerving.
It was terrifying. I mean, we didn't understand what was going on. We didn't understand anxiety. And also, seeing someone treat your child that way in a way that you feel is so severe really just set us back.
The mama bear in me comes out, and I just want to scratch the eyeballs out of this doctor.
Oh, I wanted to smack him and hug him at the same time.
So let's jump forward a little bit. Yeah. Tell us about when Joe's OCD came back when he was a sophomore and what you started noticing and what it was like for you and your family.
When we really first started noticing something was in October of 2014, the fall of his sophomore year. And the first thing that we noticed was a series of words that Joe would repeat to himself. And at times it was just a mutter. If he was in the bathroom, it would be louder. And Joe, what are you doing? What is that you keep saying to yourself? Well, it's just a bad rap song I made up. And so, you know, he was covering up for it. But then as the weeks went by, it very quickly became much worse. His sessions where he would sit and repeat the series of words became longer. And the worst thing you could do was to interrupt him during one of these sessions.
You know, I've had a lot of parents who say that they have to keep quiet and stay out of their child's rituals because otherwise the child would get really upset and angry. Did Joe present with any anger, or how did he interact with the family when he, you know, was in the midst of doing a ritual?
he would show a lot of frustration and a lot of anger. And he, to be honest, he's always been a very stubborn, very bullheaded kid. Yeah, you know, it's the way it is. And it would just be more of that. And at the time, we didn't understand what was going on. And we wanted him, and this, I think this is common for parents. You don't want to put your kid through hard paces, but instead you want to bring them comfort right away. And so if he needs an extra 20 minutes in the bathroom and repeating these words, let him do it. Then he can move on to his homework. He can get on to bed. In the meantime, we're jumping online and we're starting to research OCD.
So you would give him the 20 minutes so that he could move on to the next task and hopefully get homework done. Did those allowances actually work?
They made things worse. And then it gets to the point where it's not only your child needing to do these rituals alone, but before you know it, the family's involved with it.
I think, you know, one of the tough things for a lot of parents with children with OCD to recognize is that, yes, it's in our natural inclination to care and nurture for our children and make things easier for them and give them what they need. And it's easier just to open the door for the child so that they can get on into the car and we can get moving. However, what would you suggest to these parents? I mean, what was your experience when you were facilitating Joe's OCD?
My recommendation to a parent would be become involved with a licensed, experienced OCD therapist ASAP and work with them to understand what you should do as a parent and what you should not do as a parent. You still have to keep your child safe and as healthy as you can, but you can't facilitate the OCD. You can't become part of it. And so right off the bat, work with someone and put up your boundaries with your child.
Can you tell us a little bit what it was like emotionally for you to go through this and watch Joe struggle with his OCD?
I can try. I mean, you know, it's a very tough roller coaster of emotions. You know, to watch your child go through, you know, what Joe went through, what it puts you and, in my case, my wife through, and then also watching the effect that it had on our daughter. And so it's extremely difficult. And you fight your emotions. On one hand, you're thinking, how could this be? My childhood wasn't this way. This isn't what childhood looks like. This isn't what adolescence looks like or parenting looks like. Of course, your child is going to make you mad. They're going to do bonehead things. But being frozen on a bathroom floor for 27 hours and can't release the baseboards because they're beyond repeating the ritual has them stuck. Well, that's not normal. You know, those aren't normal frustrations. And you stay tough for your child, you know, in that moment still. You have to love them, even though you are at times beside yourself with anger towards them. But you still persevere. You keep going.
And when you're beside yourself with anger, how did you manage that? Because I can imagine so many parents who are stuck not only with their child's OCD, but perhaps even stuck doing the compulsions requested, demanded by their children or child. And not only is it infuriating, however, a lot of parents say that there is a sense of resentment for being caught in this problem.
There is resentment there, but there are so many times that I put myself in timeout. honestly, and my wife and I, we almost had a tag team arrangement. You know, when someone just can't take it any longer, the other person steps in and takes over for a while. So there's a lot of that going on. But then after a certain point, you just kind of have to get over yourself and realize that whatever your child is going through is so much worse than what you may be going through. So, you know, get over it, be compassionate, be sympathetic, and hopefully, you know, you have a really good support system around you to help you when it becomes too much for you.
Since we're talking about compulsions, can you explain or share with us what kind of compulsions did you guys get involved in? And you said that it was affecting his sister. How did this affect his sister?
Mm-hmm. The kind of compulsions that we became involved in, you're doing it before you realize you're doing it. You know, it's things like, Dad, can you turn the page back on the magazine and let me look at that picture one more time? Sure.
It's tricky, huh?
It's tricky. Would you turn the lights off? Sure. Would you turn them back on? Really? So before you know it, you're trapped into it. And then it becomes so hard to break your child of the habit of yourself being involved in their compulsion.
So it's almost like you become the slave of the OCD.
OCD will take over your family, your house. Your child might be the center of it, but everyone, the family has OCD is what it can feel like.
Did you have to change any of your own activities? Like, did you have to stay home from work, or did you have to stop certain hobbies because you were so entrapped?
Oh, yes. All the activities that you might have enjoyed together as a family or individually, all of that is greatly compromised. Days and days of work missed, the financial impact, everything is impacted. And then it's also tough because, you know, we were raising Joe's sister. So while Joe was going through this and we were going through what we were going through, we still had to try to provide a healthy, happy environment for Joe's little sister to grow up in.
I think one area that we started noticing about 5-10 years ago is that OCD doesn't just affect the child and the parents. It also affects siblings that are around. And I think this is an area that's been completely neglected. Can you share with us, how did this affect his sister? And how did you guys as parents try to still provide that happy, harmonious life for her?
The way that we think it affected his sister the most was that, you know, she didn't take on any of the OCD behaviors. There was a couple of times that Joe said, "Would you turn the light on for me?" and then turn it back off. And she just looked at him like, "You're a fool. No way." And she walked away. That's what we should have done too.
Siblings are the greatest at
siblings
doing that.
Siblings are the best. Siblings are the best. They're way tougher than mom and dad. But our fear was that it would make her emotionally recede and pull back, which we believe it did. You know, when the house has just been in an uproar and everything's going on and brother's been lying in the hallway for 32 hours with people stepping over him, you know, that's hard for a young teenage girl to accept and harder for them to talk about. And so we had to work really hard to make sure that his sister stayed engaged, and we would try to get her to talk about how she felt about what was going on. But then at the same time, you have to make sure that she has play dates to go to and friends over and go to the movies and show her what we think of as just everyday life and try to create that happiness around her.
Did you guys find the need, or did she even ask to maybe see a therapist of her own so she could process the experiences? Or did the therapist that Joe was working with also worked with her?
We talked about it with her, but she had no interest whatsoever. Her grades were still good. She was still very social, very active. And so at that time, we thought, well, let's not force this thing. Let's try to have a sense of normalcy around her, but encourage a sense of openness and willingness to talk about what was going on.
That demonstrates maybe she's a tough cookie.
She's a tough cookie. She's a very old soul.
Right. Did you feel that their experience, or Joe's experience with OCD and how it infiltrated the family, did it impact their sibling relationship? Because, you know, one of the things that I have siblings complaining about is that all of the focus is now on the quote unquote problematic child, that the attention for everybody else is now neglected.
There was some of that going on, but we recognize really that pattern of behavior early on and worked really hard to make sure that it didn't impact younger sister too greatly.
Was there a moment that you look back where you see is the bottom, or kind of the worst time or the most challenging time with Joe?
Yes. And, you know, we kind of drug along the bottom there for a while. There were times where calling 911 to get, you know, the professionals involved in a situation. You know, watching Joe leave in an ambulance going to a psychiatric ward, or seeing ritualistic behavior destroy a room of a house or the interior of a car, or so bad that there's almost physical altercation between he and I. I feel like he and I, we've gone right to the edge of disaster. And at the last moment, you know, we've pulled back. We've been very fortunate to work with good doctors and good therapists and have resources available to help pull through this. But yeah, we've been through some very dark, very difficult times.
Well, I'm happy to see that you guys are here and your relationship has blossomed and grown since then. Just going back, when you were in those dark moments, what helped you to make it through? Because I'm sure a part of you feel devastated that this precious son of yours is in this state. However, I just don't have words for it. What helped you?
You know that you can't give up. To quit is not an option. And then you, honestly, it sounds cliche and kind of corny, but you celebrate the small accomplishments. You know, he was stuck on the floor for 12 hours. Well, 2 days ago, it was 27 hours. That's a victory.
I think that's a very important point for all parents to hear, not just parents with children with anxiety and OCD. Celebrating small accomplishments is huge.
Right.
And recognizing that.
And then ask yourself the question, what is normal? What does normal look like? Well, we accepted the fact that we had a new normal. And this is what we do. This is how we live. This is what we're doing. This is what our life is about at the moment, is seeing this kid through to being a healthy adult.
I think those are two very, very wise, beneficial tips because, again, parenting children, what was normal at 2 is not going to be the same normal at 10 or 15. So as life progresses and as you evolve from one stage to the next, you do have a new normal that you have to accept. So in this turmoil, and you guys are now doing your research looking for what to do with this, how would you go about telling the audience of how to find help?
Well, it does help where you live. You know, we were fortunate that we lived in Portland, Oregon, that, you know, there were good therapists there that then helped us find you, Dr. Yip, and your associates. And from there, we went on to Rogers Memorial in Wisconsin. So it helped where we live. But, you know, the internet has made it accessible for everyone. And so you do your research, and there are specialists out there that can help identify the problem quickly and then put a course of treatment in place.
Can you remember a moment when you realized that Joe was getting better and you start to see some light at the end of the tunnel?
There have been a lot of those moments along the way. You know, you realize he's getting better. You know, when we came to L.A. the first time and started working with, you know, this practice, the first day he couldn't get out of the apartment to come to session. So Dr. Yip and you guys, you came there. Well, a couple of days later, he was able to get to therapy. That's one of those successes that you celebrate. You know, being able to look at the alphabet and see the word, the letter U, which would remind him of ugly, and not have a meltdown and be stuck in place for 8 hours. That's a success.
I embrace how you guys are laughing about this now. However, I remember back then, it wasn't just laughter, right? It was a lot of hard work and a lot of struggle. Coming back to a full circle right now, what are some suggestions, advice that you would give to parents who are struggling and their child may not be willing to be involved in any treatment program and the parents are stuck and yet they don't know how to get their child to treatment? What can you suggest for parents out there?
That's a hard one. And I think of it the same as a person that's struggling with alcohol and drug addiction issues, that they aren't going to get better until they want to. But I would go back again to say, begin a relationship with a therapist that you think you can trust and work with them on how best to get the child involved. You know, you can make a child go, but even during a therapy session, they may be sitting there secretly ritualizing while they're sitting on the therapist's sofa. There's not a lot you can do about it, but working with good people, you can at least provide the right environment for them to do the work.
Can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with Joe today?
Oh, it makes me crazy. No, we have a good relationship. It's fun to see Joe's relationship with his mom. They talk and they chat and they hang out and they go shopping. They just have a ball together. I'm the fixer. If he's in trouble, Dad, I'm in the emergency room. Dad, I wrecked the car. Dad, things aren't going well. I get those calls, you know. So I'm kind of the fixer. Mom's the friend, but that's just fine. I don't mind that at all. But we have a good relationship. We hang out together. When he's 21, we'll drink a beer together. It's good. We enjoy each other's company. We're different people, different personalities, but we enjoy each other.
If there's one final message you could have for parents out there who maybe have a kid who's has OCD or showing signs of OCD, what would you like to tell them?
Well, I mentioned just a minute ago that you accept your new normal. And you know that there's not a quick fix. It's not like if you have the flu or a hangnail. You can go to the doc, get it fixed. You may be in this for a long haul. You may be in this for the rest of your life, but keep in mind, however long you're in it, your child's going to be in it longer. And you celebrate the small victories along the way, know that you're in it for the long haul.
I think that's a very great point, that it's not an overnight change and you just have to learn the skills for what's going to work today in this moment. I want to thank you so much. I also want to let the audience know that if they are looking to find a therapist who specializes in obsessive compulsive disorder, they can always go to the therapist directory at the International OCD Foundation, which is iocdf.org.
Yeah, and on a personal note, Rob, you've always definitely been, we consider the platonic ideal of a parent with someone with OCD. You really showed up for Joe in an incredible and inspiring way. So we're really honored to have you as a guest here.
And you also followed our prescription for what to do and what not to do. So thank you for being a compliant parent.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. That's all the time we have today. You've been listening to the Stressless Life podcast. Send questions, comments, or episode ideas to thestresslesslife@dryip.com. Check out our website at www.dryip.com/podcast. If you like what you've been hearing, please write us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Until next time, stay stressless.